I'd like you to turn your Bibles, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 1 this morning. Proverbs chapter 1, and speaking on the subject of what kind of fool are you? I don't want to be a fool. Well, we're going to look at four this morning, and three you shouldn't be, but one we should aspire for. The book of Proverbs is a very interesting book. I've taught it verse by verse a couple of times, and I said I'll never do that again. It's a difficult book to teach in that format. If I ever do it again, it'll be more of a topical study of it. But it's a very important book. It's a very valuable book. The wisdom of Solomon, the man that God chose to be the replacement for David at the end of his life, to be king of Israel. And as he turned over the kingdom to Solomon, he says, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Give me wisdom so that I can lead the people of God aright." And God did. Problem was, Solomon wasn't wise in his use of that wisdom that he had. As you read the book of Ecclesiastes, you see he's looking back at the end of his life and realizing what a fool he has been to waste all that God had so richly blessed him with. And he sits down to write the book of Proverbs to try to pass on some wisdom to his son to help him to avoid some of the pitfalls that he fell prey to help him to be able to move forward through his life in a way which would be more glorifying and honoring to God than Solomon had done. So he writes this, and if you go through this, there are two main characters in the book of Proverbs, the wise man and the fool. Contrasted. As you also through the book of Proverbs, the word fool in some form or another appears 84 times. That's once for every 10 verses in this book. And hoping to pass on some wisdom to his son. There are some general characteristics that apply to the fool, regardless of what kind of fool you are. They deny God, despising instruction, and lack restraint. And I want to look at, as I said, four different kinds this morning. Let's look first at the simple fool. Well, I guess I should read my text. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Drop down to verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city. She uttereth her words, saying, "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you." And then verse 24, "Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity, and will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I'll not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and shall be filled with their own devices. For the turning in the way of the simple shall slay them, the prosperity of fools shall destroy them, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. The choice is put up to us. Will you listen? Or will you reject it and suffer the consequences? That's the difference between the wise man and the fool. The one receives the instruction, the wisdom, the knowledge, and is in fear of the Lord. The other is not. And again, suffers the consequences. So let's go to the first fool we're going to look at this morning. That is the simple fool. Go to Proverbs 14. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 15. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. You could probably, for our day and age today, say the simple believeth everything they read on Facebook. How about chapter 22? Chapter 22 and verse 3. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. The simple is all wrapped up in what's in front of him, what he wants, what he desires. And he lacks discernment. He's foolish. He fails to think ahead, fails to take precautions, gives no thought for the consequences, and is easily misled. The simple fool. The simple fool is the reason we have warning labels on products. Here's a couple of examples. On a shirt it said, never iron while wearing. On an ATV it said, never use an open flame to check the fuel level. And supposedly these are truly on products. On a chainsaw, never hold the wrong end when running. On bobcat urine, not for human consumption. On a fish hook, harmful if swallowed. On child's clothing, caution, remove child before washing. And there's many, many more, but I'll stop with this one. On a lawnmower, do not use for cutting your hair. You know, the fact that some of these things actually appear on products makes you wonder about the future of the human race. The fact that they had to be put on there, what's wrong with people? They're simple fools. No thought about the consequences of what they're doing. And children are simple fools. Think about it. I mean, some of these things, these are children that never grew up. But children need to be constantly taught to think ahead a little bit. There's a consequence for the choices that you make. There's a danger that you need to be aware of and think about before you act. And children are simple fools. That's just the way we are. We haven't learned yet. We haven't developed discernment and so forth. But sadly, some people never go out of that. But there is hope for this simple fool. Proverbs 22. Let's look at that one. Proverbs 22. A verse I'm sure most, if not all, are familiar with. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it from him. They need to be corrected. They need to be shown because that's there, that's in them. The idea to think ahead just doesn't occur to them. It says, whoop, let's do this. Been guilty. Still occasionally am. Look at Psalm chapter 19. Psalm chapter 19. Psalm 19 and verse 7. There's hope for the simple fool. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. If people would just heed what God says, saved and lost both. If we would heed what God says, believe it, trust it, and obey it, we'd be so much better off. Don't be a simple fool. If they pay attention, look at Proverbs 19. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 25. Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. Now this is going to come up later. We'll spend a little bit more time on that in a moment. But think about that. Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. Reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. Two different people here. One is being dealt with to help somebody else. The other one to help himself. Which one are you? Chapter 21, verse 11. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. When the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. And chapter 26 and verse 3. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. You see, the fool, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but there's a dedicated fool. And he's that scorner. He's that one that needs to be dealt with, not for himself, because he's not going to respond. It's for the simple, as a warning to that simple. And that's the thing that we're losing, I think, in our society, is the idea that discipline, punishment, is maybe it's not going to help the person that's receiving it, but it may serve as a warning for others. In fact, Ecclesiastes says, because judgment against an evil work is not executed speedily, the hearts of men shall wax worse and worse. Because you allow judgment to go on, discipline, correction, punishment, whatever you want to call it, not being dealt with, nobody's warned. Nobody's turned away. The simple fools continue on. The second one is this, the intelligent fool or the scorner. Look at Proverbs chapter 12. This guy refuses instruction, because he's all wrapped up in himself. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel shall be wise. Well, you can't tell me, because I know. I've studied. I've learned. I know all about it. Chapter 28. Proverbs 28, verse 26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. That's that intelligent fool, the scorner. He knows better than God. He's too smart for God. You've probably all met some of these people. And they are intelligent people. But they just don't see the simple things. They don't understand the simple things. And they've got all these questions, you know. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? How did Noah get all the animals in the ark without knowing how big the ark is, without knowing how many animals there are, but he's got the questions. Or where did Cain get his wife? All these questions that can be answered. They have answers. But the fool, this intelligent fool, will not accept the answers. The biblical answers to these things. Look at Psalm 92. This man believes that he is the master of his destiny. The intelligent fool. Psalm 92 and verse 5. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth the fool understand this. We think about the holy God that we're going to stand before one day. This all-wise, all-knowing God that encompasses all of eternity. And time is just a small fraction of a part of that, which God possesses all of that and occupies all of that. All of time was possessed by God right now. He looks down, he can see the beginning, he can see the end, and he sees everything on either side of him. That God who by his word brought all of this into existence. But the intelligent fool can't find place for a God in his own world. In his life. He's too smart for it because he believes he's the master of his own destiny. Look at Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14 and verse 9. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. Favor. Oh, you silly Christians. You think you're going to spend an eternity in hell? Well, no, I don't. But those without Jesus Christ will. Well, how do you know that? Well, because God told us about it. It's real. Hell is real. And so is heaven. And we have a choice. The fool goes to hell. The wise man will go to heaven. Amen. Fools make a mock at that. Proverbs chapter 18. The intelligent fool is full of himself. I remember many, many years ago when I first came across this verse, the light came on when I read this thing. He says, I'll start in verse 1, Proverbs 18. Through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. I want to know. I want to learn. So he separates himself. But verse 2, a fool hath no delight in understanding, but in his heart may discover itself. Do you realize that's the root of humanity? Human philosophy, psychology, discovering myself. I learned a long time ago, it's not about me. It's about him. And that's the one that I need to separate myself to learn more about, to gain more understanding of, to get closer to. Because this, as Jeremiah 17 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and is desperately wicked. Who can know it? And it goes on and says, I, the Lord, search the heart and try the ways. God knows my heart. I don't even understand the depths of the depravity of my own wicked heart. But the heart, the fool, intelligent fool, his heart only discovers itself. That's all he's concerned about. Getting to know him. Look at Proverbs chapter 1 again. We read these verses, but let's read them again, verses 22 and 23. Proverbs 1, 22. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity, and scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn ye at my reproof. I'll pour out my spirit unto you. I'll make known my words unto you. God just puts it right out there and offers it. Look, just respond. Just take it. Just receive the truth that I'm offering to you. The reproof that I'm giving to you. And I'll give you my spirit. And the wisdom that comes along with that. But then drop down now again to verse 29. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, not the way that God offers, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning of the way of the simple shall slay them. The prosperity of fools shall destroy them, but whoso hearkeneth unto him shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. That's what God offers to us. Peace, rest, safety, hope. And people reject that and choose their own way. And suffer the consequence. Too smart to God for God. I came across this quote of Benjamin Franklin this week, and it's interesting how many times I saw things that it seemed to apply to. He said this: he was so learned that he could name a horse in 9 languages, but so ignorant that he bought a cow to ride. Doesn't that define the educated people in our world today that have rejected God? Not all of them have. But those who have no place for God in their lives have all this knowledge and have all this supposed understanding, but don't know how to apply it properly to their best benefit in their everyday life. Name a horse in 9 languages and buy a cow for transportation. Makes a lot of sense, huh? Someone said one time, they are educated beyond their intelligence. The third one is this. You got the simple fool, the intelligent fool, the dedicated fool. This guy's dangerous. This is the worst of all of them. He is sold out. He despises instruction. He doesn't just reject it, he despises it. He's proud of his foolishness. And the simple are his prey. He preys on the simple, committed in his own destruction and wanting to bring others along with him in that. Look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Chapter 15, Proverbs 15, and verse 5. The fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Watch out. Don't do that. Proverbs 14, verse 6. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. But knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. For from the presence of a foolish, go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. You know, some people you just need to avoid. Because they're a snare. They'll be a trap. Verse 8, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. Look at chapter 17. Chapter 17, verse 10. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. All you got to do is speak to people who want to do right, want to learn. But this fool, you can beat him with 100 stripes and it doesn't change a thing because he's committed to his purpose. He won't be changed. The punishment is not for him. It's for the one who will respond and learn from what happens to him. Chapter 27, Proverbs 27, verse 22. Proverbs 27, 22. Though thou shouldst bray a fool in a mortar among wheat with a pestle, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. Yeah, you take that wheat and you put it in that bowl and that pestle, you grind it for flour. He says, you put a fool in that and it's not going to do any good. It's not going to change his way, this dedicated fool. And then chapter 26, verse 1. As snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. As the bird by wandering is a swallow by flying, so the cursed, causeless, shall not come. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou be wise, be also like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Now, some people will take these two verses and say, well, the Bible contradicts itself. No. Yeah, I realize it's saying two different things because there's two different circumstances that it's dealing with. Sometimes you need to just stay away from the fool and not answer him, lest thou be like unto him. But sometimes you need to address him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Sometimes they'll listen and be helped. It just depends upon the circumstance. But go ahead and read on here, verse 6. He that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. You can't count on him. He'll let you down. The legs of the lame are not equal, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. He that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. I could say something there, but I'll just let it go. Verse 9, as a thorn goeth up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. The dedicated fool, there's no hope for him. Because he won't respond. No matter what you do, no matter how harshly you deal with him, he's committed. There's a man that was hospitalized for a rattlesnake bite. His companion had warned him not to mess with it, a baby rattlesnake. And he was quoted as saying this, "She warned me, but I picked it up anyway. I'm just not too bright." Yep. And still committed to that. It doesn't make any difference. Beware of this fool. Look at Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. And some of you maybe even have somebody in mind right now as we think about this fool. He says, "Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee." You can't even reprove him without him getting angry about it. Chapter 15, verse 12. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither would go into the wise. So you got the simple fool that has some hope because they just don't know better, like children. And you got the intelligent fool who his education, his knowledge is all that's important. He can make the decisions in our lives that affect all of us, and because he's got the degrees upon his name, we have to listen to him and heed what he tells us to do. And so many examples of that I could throw out to you, but I think you can find your own to apply to that. These fools, that intelligent fool, stay away from him. And this dedicated fool. But you know, there's one fool that we need to aspire to be like. Look at 1 Corinthians. Let's start with chapter 1. Gary was in this passage in Sunday school this morning, so for those of you who were there, this will be somewhat review. But 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he's got some things to say to them because some of them are fools. And he says this in verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." You ever witness to somebody who just mocked you, hand them a tract, and they just throw it away? Because it's foolishness to them. And he goes on, he says this, "But unto us which are saved, it's the power of God." What a contrast. Just rejected before it can even have any effect on them. But for those of us that are saved, we understand what that message in that little piece of paper, the difference that it can make in our lives. Amen. It was through a gospel tract that I came to know Jesus Christ my Savior. Not immediately, but that was the first seeds that were sown that began to draw me to Jesus Christ. Verse 19, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise." God's not going to put up with their nonsense. "And I'll bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. I've got a brother that's a very intelligent man. Electrical engineer, graduated from Cornell University, had companies from all over the country flying him to interview him for jobs. But he thinks I'm fool. I've witnessed to him over the last 50 years to no avail. The problem is he's relying upon his own wisdom. But your own wisdom, you're not going to find God. It's by opening yourself up to the wisdom of God to receive this. The world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. This is what God uses, the communicating of his word to others to bring them to Jesus Christ. The Bible says being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You're born again by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17, and hearing by the word of God. And James says, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. I don't believe a person can get saved apart from the word of God. That's the seed. You know the parable of the sower and seed? As Jesus Christ explained what it meant, he says, the seed is the word. The ground is the heart. And I've got to receive the seed into my heart if there's going to be a harvest. And sometimes that seed lays there dormant for a while. And you just continue to water that and nurture that and care for that, and finally they respond and faith is born in the heart of the person from the Word of God. By the foolishness of preaching to save them to believe. Verse 22, for the Jews require a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, a stumbling block. Unto the Greeks, foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. He's so far above us. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts, it says in Isaiah 55. As the heaven is higher than the earth, so are his ways higher than our ways. And his thoughts higher than our thoughts. The power of God and the wisdom of God. Verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. That's describing me. Not wise, not mighty, not noble, weak. But God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. I realize that anything that's worthwhile accomplished in my life is not because of me, it's because of him. And each and every one of us, that's all God needs, is a foolish, empty, weak vessel. And he can work through you. And he will, because the power is of God and not of us. The strength is of God and not of us. The wisdom is of God and not of us. Go to 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 9. Well, let's back up just a little bit. Start at verse 5. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. See, there's a lot of stuff that God doesn't reveal to us and won't be revealed to us till we get on the other side. Verse 6, and these things, brethren, I have in figure transferred to myself and to Apollos, for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written. That no one of you be puffed up for one against another. See, just because I'm a pastor doesn't make me any better than any of you. I'm just as weak and a failure for God as any of you are. God makes the difference, if there's any difference. Verse 7, for who maketh me thee to differ from another? What hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? It's of God. Now you're full. Now you're rich. Ye have reigned as kings without us, and I would God ye did reign that we also might reign with you. And now these two verses, for I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as we're appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men, who are fools for Christ's sake. but ye are wise. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. That's the kind of fool that each of us should aspire to be. A fool for Jesus Christ's sake. Are people going to mock you? Oh, yeah. People going to laugh at you? Make fun of you? Despise you? Yep. But it's for Christ's sake. And that when I'm weak, then am I strong. Let's stand, please, for prayer.